I had a friend who called me, and she said that a pastor was preaching, and he said it was not a literal six-day creation, because she said yom, and that it was this length of day. And I told her, no, that's not right. But I needed to know where to direct her, so.
Okay, the use of the Hebrew word yom, the day, in Genesis, and creation. Whether it's six-day creation or six-something creation. Good.
About that, let's talk about the flood and yom and all that, and the days. That is probably the most often asked question, especially when I do college retreats and things like that, because kids are bombarded with evolutionary thought, and they don't know how to answer it because they've heard Hugh Ross on James Dobson's show, and Hugh Ross is an astrophysicist who is an evolutionist, who James Dobson brought on as an expert about 20 years ago. And Hugh Ross believes what we would call normal evolutionary thought, and he believes that Adam was created right here, right at this point, but God created the universe back here, and billions of years passed, and there was a subhuman caveman race that had little brains and no spirits. They were not in the image of God, and they were hacking and killing each other and eating each other and painting on the walls and chasing dinosaurs. And then all that, got into the strata. And then God created this perfect Eden. And then Adam fell into sin. And the Bible goes like this. So what Hugh Ross did is, and by the way, a lot of his work is phenomenal. I love it. The anthropic principle is, he's a genius. What he says is that the earth is so precisely tilted, distance from the sun, rotational speed, revolution speed, everything about the earth, it was the anthropic principle is that the earth was totally made for humans. That's why scientists are amazed. I mean, the color of our star, the age of the sun. If the sun was younger or older, we couldn't live. If the sun was further away or closer, we couldn't live. If the earth spun faster or slower, we couldn't live. If it wasn't on that cute little angle, we couldn't live. It just, everything about it, I mean, if it was spinning too fast, the oxygen would fly off. If it was spinning too slow, the carbon dioxide would smother us all. I mean, if it was too far away from the sun, we'd freeze. If it was too close, we would all boil. It'd be like this week, all the time. And so everything about it, and so Hugh Ross is a genius, and the only thing, though, that's sad is that he wanted to accommodate evolutionary thought, and the purpose of evolution among non-believers is to make a creator far away, or not at all. Because who wants this God that recently made us? Maybe he's going to ask us to answer for our lives. And so we want to get everybody to be kind of an animal. And so then we can act like animals and not feel bad about it. And that's the purpose of evolution. It's for humans to find a way around a creator, a judge, accountability, etc. But how do you, from the Bible, support what I would call recent, literal, six-day creationism? And I'm glad that you asked that, because I remember I was unpacking my books in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was literally unpacking my books. And my secretary said, "You have a call." I said, "Wonderful. Who is it?" She said, "Oh, it's John Erling." And I said, "Oh, does he go to church here?" She said, "No." She said, "He is the talk show everyone in Tulsa listens to. Him all day long, and then they switch to Rush Limbaugh, and as soon as Rush is off, they're back to John Erling. And he opens the day and closes the day, and he's the most well-known voice of Tulsa." And they said, "He always calls every pastor that moves in and asks them a question on the air. And he's on the air right now, and you're going to answer it." She says, "We didn't want you to worry, so we didn't tell you." Well, it was wonderful. So I just sat down, brushed off my chair,
grab my Bible, and I answer the phone. He says, so good to have you on the show, Pastor. Welcome to Tulsa. I said, thank you. He said, I have another pastor on the phone too. And it was the pastor of the huge United Whatever Church downtown. One of those looks like Notre Dame in Paris. One of those giant edifices. And this guy was in a mainline denomination, did not believe in the deity of Christ, did not believe in the inspiration of Scripture, didn't believe any miracles happened, et cetera, et cetera. And he'd just been, this pastor had been telling all this on the air, you know, he had this scholarly voice. And he, John Erling, had said, hey, what about people that believe in recent literal creationism? He said, do you know anybody like that? And he said, well, I think the new guy that just moved here is one of them. And so that's why they called, tricked me. And so I had not heard all this stuff. And this liberal pastor said, there's nobody that's real person before Abraham, and we're not even sure about him. David's the first real person that's in the Bible. All the rest of them are just mythology. And all this had gone on for an hour, and they called me. So John Erling said, hey, sorry to put you on the spot, but he said, we have 30 seconds. He said, could you tell me why you believe in recent literal six-day creationism? And he said, we have a commercial break in 30 seconds. I said, oh, I'd love to answer that. I said, I believe in literal creationism because Jesus did. That took 10 seconds. There was a long pause. And he said, we'll be right back to you after our commercial break. He says, I'm intrigued. He said, I didn't know Jesus ever commented on that. And so I spent about a half hour with him on the air. And you know what? About 5 minutes into our talk, we heard, well, John, I've got to go. I'm busy here. And the other guy hung up because he was fed up with it. But let me show you. This is what I normally do. Go to Exodus chapter 20, and I want to explain why you don't need to debate anybody about yom, the Hebrew word for yom. It says, for in six yoms. The Hebrew word for day is the word yom. And so what Genesis says is, for in, you know, day one, yom two, yom three. And so what this group, the Huaraz clan, say, that those were like day ages. And so they call it theistic evolution, that God, that's the theistic part, kind of planted a garden and let it grow for 6 billion years or 18 billion or 12 or however long. So it's kind of like you get both. You know, you get the billions and billions of years, and you still have the Bible. And they do that because they say that yom, there are expressions like the day of the Lord. That's all the way through the Bible. The book of Joel, the whole theme of it is the day of the Lord. Does that mean a 24-hour period? No, it doesn't. Clearly it doesn't. And so they go, because in Joel, yom is an indeterminate amount of time, then every time it shows up in Genesis, it's indeterminate too. And you know what I say to them? You know, keep talking as long as you want. And they get all done with that. And I say, okay, let's go to Exodus 20. And look at this. This is probably the most well-known part of the Bible. I mean, everybody believes that this is in the Bible. You call it the Ten Commandments, you know. And look what the Ten Commandments say in Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words. And by the way, chapter 19 and verse 18, there are 3 million people shaking and quaking, and they're hearing God's voice talking. And God is talking, and while he's talking, he actually, it says later in Exodus, that he actually put his finger into stone and he wrote the Ten Commandments. God wrote them with his own finger. It's the only part of the Bible God wrote. You ever think of that? The rest was inspired, and the Spirit of God moved and gave the words to people. But God did not take pen in hand to write the other 31,000 verses of the Bible. But these verses, starting in chapter 20, with 3 million people, 600,000 families, shaking in their boots because the mountain was quaking and the voice of God was like this loud trumpet, God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, Exodus 20, verse 2, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself carved images Verse 7 is the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. And the fourth commandment is in verse 8. And look what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. Now, look what we just bumped into. We bumped into this word from Genesis, Yom. And what we find is there's a law of interpretation. If you look up every usage of Yom in the Bible, you get your computer and use Yom. Whenever Yom has before it an ordinal, a number, whenever it has a number, always, always, not even most of the time, always, it's talking about what it's talking about here. So look what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day to the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. But the fourth commandment doesn't stop there. Look what it says in verse 11. And this is Genesis 31:18 says, this was written by God's finger. I mean, you ought to mark that in your Bible next time someone comes. It's Genesis 31:18 says that the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments in the stone tablets. Look what God wrote. For in 6 yoms, days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh yom. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let me ask you, when 600,000 dads, 603,000 dads, and 603,000 moms, and all their children first heard Moses reading what was on the stone tablets, what did those slaves understand God, those former slaves who worked in Egypt, understand God to say? He was saying, hey, you guys aren't going to be working 7 days a week like you did in Egypt. You're going to remember me and have intimate time with me. You only have to work 6 days and rest the seventh. Because I, God wrote with his own finger, I made the entire universe. I created, look what he says, the heavens and the earth. Not just recreated Hugh Ross style, a pre-existing universe, and spiffed it up and, you know, started the first human. God says in 6 days, just like I said in Genesis, but just in case you didn't get it, I'll amplify it. In 6 solar 24-hour days, I made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that's in them, and rested the seventh 24-hour period. So, really, this question comes down to, who do you believe? Do you believe people that were not eyewitnesses? Do you believe people that are trying to accommodate evolutionary thought? Or do you believe the one who witnessed the creation of both Adam and the universe, who actually with his own finger wrote the account? And so when I got done telling that to John Erling, he said, did Jesus believe anything else? I said, yeah, he believed in Jonah and the whale. And I said, he believed. And he went, oh, we're going to have you on another time. But he never did. But it was the first time that an unbeliever was confronted with the fact that this notion that you can't understand the Bible and you don't know what the Bible means and none of us can be sure, that if you start with a marker point of Jesus Christ, and if you say Jesus Christ believed in creation, Jesus Christ believed in the scriptures, Jesus affirmed the Old Testament scriptures. He had the 22 books that are our 39 that Ezra wrote, and Jesus called them scripture. And then he says, you apostles are going to write the rest of scripture. So basically, Jesus affirmed the whole Bible. He picked the apostles to write, and he said all the Old Testament was his word. So next Sunday night, Lord willing, if we're all here, we're going to pick up with Christian and alcohol. I'll give you the Christian's drinking prescription from the scriptures. And it's very clear. The Bible is very clear about that. And if you don't want to come back next week, I'll tell you this. It says elders are not supposed to be near the stuff. Deacons aren't supposed to drink too much. And everybody else isn't supposed to get drunk. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus really made real alcohol. But most people never drank it straight. Only alcoholics drank it straight. The Jews, and if you know anything about the Mishnah and the Gemara and all the Talmudic laws, they always diluted alcohol. That's why they said on the day of Pentecost, how are those people drunk? It's only 9 in the morning. You know, when you drank diluted stuff, you'd have to have 5 pitchers to get drunk because everyone diluted it. But we'll talk about, bigger than the Christian and alcohol, the whole idea of what do we allow ourselves to be under the control of. There are a lot of people that don't drink anything, but they're totally gluttons, and they're absolutely enslaved to food. Other people are totally enslaved to, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's not just alcohol. It's being disciplined. And then we'll talk about the whole Mosaic thing, and then Romans 9, all Israel being saved, and we'll get into Zechariah and prophecy, and maybe even Ahmadinejad will do something crazy, and it'll be even more exciting next week from Iran. But thank you, and sorry to make you sit so long without moving. Let's all stand, and I'm going to close in prayer, and after I close in prayer, Hannah's going to come up, and Jeff, and whoever else is coming, and Justin, and we're going to hear about all this. But while they get ready to come, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you that we have a sure word that we hold in our hand. And I pray that the weight of all your word would rest upon our hearts, that we would want to read every word, not live by mere bread, but by every word of God. And that we would see it all fits. And the longer we study it, the clearer it becomes that you are God and how much we magnify your great name. You are the Creator. You are the Redeemer. And you are coming again as Judge. And we want to please you in all we do. And so we submit ourselves to you tonight, asking you by your grace to give us the power, the desire, and Lord, the ability to say no to sin and yes to your wonderful plans in this book. Thank you for these that are going, for Hannah and for our high school missions team. And as we send them off tonight, may they go knowing that they're surrounded by the prayer of the saints and by the blessings of you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.